Amen. So keep your place there in Hebrews chapter number 10. We will get there in just a minute. So the sermon this morning is going to be a very personal sermon, and I don't usually get so personal in preaching, but I feel that there are some things. I'm actually kind of a private person, which is weird, being a pastor, but there's some things that I feel that you need to know and that you deserve to know. I know that it's been a difficult week. I'm sorry for the week that you've all had. First thing I want you to know is that Pastor Jimenez is my friend, and he remains my friend. So I want you all to know that. Turn to Matthew. Keep your place in Hebrews 10, and turn to Matthew 16. All right. So, what is a church? I mean, why do we go through all these things? Right. We go through happiness and joy in church. But also, there's a lot of turmoil in church, and there's a lot of stress at times in church. What is a church? I mean, what's the point of all of this? All right, look at Matthew 18. So let's just look at what a church is for a few minutes, and then we'll get into the sermon, all right? Matthew 16, did I say Matthew 18? Matthew 16, verse number 18, look what the Bible says. And Jesus says, "I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Notice what Jesus says. He says, "I will build my church." He's talking about who the church belongs to. All right, he will build the church. And then the gates of hell will not prevail against it as long as we follow what the Bible says. And the Bible is the Word of God, which is Jesus. As long as we follow what the Bible says, what Jesus says about how to protect the church, nothing can prevail against it. Is what the Bible is saying. So, I mean, basically, the church belongs to Christ, it is built on Christ, and it is sustained by Christ. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter number 2. Turn to Acts chapter number 2. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 47. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 47. The Bible reads, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So look, the church is made up of saved people. The church is made up of saved people added by the Lord, all right? Not by us. It's Christ that builds and sustains the church. I mean, not to say that there's not going to be saved people that visit the church, but the church is, and we have ways to handle that and turn those unsaved people into saved people. But the church is for the saved. The church is for saved people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want you to remember these things when I get into this sermon, the reasons for the church and what the church is, what it's for, who it's for. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and look at verse number 27. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, it says, "Now ye," now ye is plural, ye, all of you, "ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So notice, the church the church is not a place. The church is not a building. Ye are the body of Christ. The church is a living body, not a place or an event. And you're members of that. So, this is a living body. I hope you feel alive this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. This is... I'll just read for you Hebrews 10, 25, so you can lose your place there. But in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 22, this is a key point that we need to remember for this sermon. But look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 22. Ephesians 1, 22. Is everybody there? The Bible says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him," Jesus, "to be head over all things to the church." So, with the church, Christ is the head. He is in charge. And that's why a good pastor and, your previous pastor is like, "Turn here, turn here, turn here." Why? Because the authority flows from Christ, not the man. I have no, I could say all kinds of fancy words, but my words have no authority without the authority of Jesus Christ, which is sitting on your lap today. All authority in the church flows down from Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 10:25. If you're there, look at it. Otherwise, I'll read it for you. It's on the front of your bulletin. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So look, the church assembles. It is not remote. It is not virtual. It is people that come together. And look at this one. But exhorting one another. You know what exhorting means? Exhorting means encouraging. To strongly urge or encourage. How many of you needed to be encouraged this week? How many of you needed exhortation this week? That's what the church is for. That's what the assembling is for. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 15. Last one we'll go to, and then we'll get into the sermon. 1 Timothy 3, and verse number 15. The Bible says, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church exists to hold up and to protect truth. Does truth need protecting today? Amen. So just in summary, the church is a body of saved believers assembled together under Christ as the head for truth, for worship, for edification, for exhortation, for instruction in righteousness. That's what the church is for. So now the title of the sermon is A Tale of Two Churches. I want to tell you the story to me. I want to give you a personal reference of what two churches in particular mean to me. Two churches that fit this exact description of what a church should be. I want to give you, let's start with Verity Baptist Church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want to just kind of give you some personal reflection of mine on what Verity Baptist Church means to me and to my family. I know a lot of you, some of you I haven't met, but I know most of you, I would say. But I want to just let you know that from 2016 to 2019, I was a member of Verity Baptist Church. Now, I just kind of like tell you like what, you know, that meant to me. You know, a few things about, you know, my wife and I went through this list. And I mean, I could talk about this for half an hour by itself, but I'll just give you a few of the highlights. I mean, our youngest child got saved in this church. My children were baptized in this church. As a matter of fact, Garrett has been baptized over 20 times in this church. That's not a joke. He was a subject of a preaching class where we were practicing baptism. And in particular, and I mean, I hope you wouldn't mind me saying this, but Pastor Stuckey, for some reason, he was Brother Stuckey at the time. We were just, you know, we were just church members together. He just kept, like, he was really nervous, and he just kept, like, tripping over his words. And he just, I mean, Pastor Stuckey has baptized Garrett at least a dozen times just himself. And then some of the guys were having fun with it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, hey, hit him again, you know? He basically got waterboarded, but I saw my first salvation at this church. Amen. Think about that. It was actually Pastor Robertson from Australia. He visited here during, I think, the first Red Hot. And I was partnered up with him, and he got this gal saved at the door. And he said in his, I'm not going to try to mimic his Australian accent, but he's like, oh, first salvation in America, he says. And I'm like, oh, first salvation I've ever seen. We learned, my entire family learned to properly give the gospel in this church. Yeah. And that's why, you know, it's just such a beautiful thing about, I talked to some of the men about the culture of the church, and, you know, I learned soul winning culture of just giving a thorough gospel presentation from this church. Amen. I learned what a methadone clinic is in this church. That will actually be relevant to the story later on. I'm from North Dakota. I'd never seen anything like that before. But I was talking with Brother Nate was walking through the security program with me. You're very safe here, by the way. I hope you feel safe. He was walking through that with me yesterday, and we were just kind of reminiscing about some of the things across the highway that we had to deal with as ushers back then. And that will be actually, it's funny, but it's very relevant to my life. And that kind of just brought a new section of the sermon in for me. But I'll get to that in just a minute. My children read their Bibles cover to cover for the first time in this church. And I mean, you parents know that if you've been sitting there when your kids have done that for the first time, that's a profound moment. If you want to turn to Proverbs chapter number 11, Proverbs chapter number 11, this will also be very relevant to the sermon. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11, look at verse 14. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We were given godly counsel in this church. How many of you were given godly counsel in this church? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Our son met his wife in this church, particularly because of Pastor Jimenez. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Last point I want to make is that I'm aware that my family, did not build and sacrifice for this church for 15 years. I'm aware of that. Another man in his family did. 1 Corinthians 3:6. The Bible says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We're just men serving. That's what we're doing here. The point I'm trying to get you to see here, if you don't know me and you haven't, you know, there's been a lot of new faces when we visited over the years, is that I love this church. And I will do everything in my biblical power and authority through blood, sweat, and tears to protect and grow this body of Christ. Amen. And I promise you that. Now let me tell you about another church. Let me tell you about Holdfast Baptist Church. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, if you will. So you say, well, what about Holdfast Baptist Church? Well, I love that church too, and everyone in it. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Holdfast Baptist Church was basically started in 2019 as a satellite of Verity Baptist Church for 2 years. And this is where that methadone clinic gets kind of relevant. It was a satellite ministry in Fresno for 2 years of Verity Baptist Church, and we were in downtown Fresno. It was the cheapest building I could find in downtown Fresno, and if you've ever been to downtown Fresno, it's basically a war zone, so... And the families that have been here, that are in the I'm looking at them in their faces right now, that have been with me since the beginning, I felt like I was battling zombies on a daily basis, is what it felt like. It was very, very rough area, very difficult situation to have a church. The kids could not go anywhere. Like, we had to keep the kids in the building. It was not only, you know, just homeless stuff, but violent stuff at times that we had to deal with. And, like, it was not safe outside. Let's put it that way. You had to walk, you know, we had to walk people to their cars. That was the kind of situation that it was. But here's a valuable lesson. And this is why I brought up the methadone clinic. And this hit me when Brother Nate was talking to me yesterday. And this is just a small thing that I want you to see. We moved later on when I got ordained and became Holdfast Baptist Church 2 years later. We moved north of downtown, and we had a building now where we had kind of an outside parking lot, and we could cone off an area. And it's just this outside parking lot, and the kids could play basketball. And some of you have been there, and the kids could play basketball, and the kids could like do scooter races and all that stuff. And like, let me tell you something. Like, every single time I saw the kids playing out there, I just appreciated that place. Look down at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 2. And you can take this one. I'm going to just make a small application on what I'm talking about here, but you can just apply that to your life this week, your life in general. The Bible says it's better to go into the house of mourning than to go into the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. The house of feasting, the good times, is the end of all men. and the living will lay it to his heart. Look, the Bible says that being in the house of mourning is better for your heart. It builds your heart. I'm appreciative of that location across the road over there. I'm appreciative of, and I've told Brother Trevor this many times, like, I so much appreciate that terrible place downtown. I so much appreciate it because I would never have that joy as I walked out and saw that. It gave me that joy. For years, it gave me that joy. Because that house of mourning, it hones your heart in. It makes your heart better. So times of stress, times of sadness, all that, you really don't want to go through that stuff, but it makes you a better Christian. That's just a small example. But look, the members of that body, Holdfast Baptist Church, many of them have stood by me and carried the gospel through the streets of Fresno for 6 years. We would get a new member, and they would be a new member, like, that grew up in Fresno. And then, you know, we would go out soul winning, and, you know, they would, like, they're like a Fresno local. And they would see the neighborhoods we were going through in Fresno, and they're like, do you know what kind of, they would tell me, like, when we stopped the car, you know what kind of neighborhood we're in right now? I'm like, it's going to be fine. I'm from North Dakota. But through the streets of Fresno, we've been all over the city in the last 6 years. Amen. And let me say that as far as, like, this church, Deacon Oliver and the trustees here, what amazing leadership they have shown over the last week. But this was fast from the perspective of Holdfast Baptist Church. And I need you all to recognize that. I talked to my family after I talked to the trustees and deacon about this, and my family was, you know, almost, you know, did not take much encouragement. They were ready. You know, we know all of you people, and they know all of Verity Baptist Church, but it was like, what to do with Holdfast Baptist Church? And I came up with this idea, well, I'll just bring them here. And praise God, many are either going to come here regularly or they're going to commute as much as possible. Praise God for that. But some are not, and that's okay that they made that decision. My wife and I went visiting living rooms one day, talking to the members of Holdfast Baptist Church, talking to them about this, and I'm pretty sure my wife and I would basically agree that it was the worst day we can remember. And I was in this place where I could clearly see the will of God, but I didn't know if I could do this. To leave even the few is a hard thing. It was kind of one of those things where, like, I could see the will of God, but, like, I don't know if I personally can do this. I felt so stuck. I don't know what to tell you, how to explain that to you. Even one of the men who was with me from the beginning, who's not going to be moving, he said, you have to go. I'm like, bro, couldn't you just be mad? But do you understand the character that takes? Do you understand what a man has to be made of to say something like that? He's losing his church. His kids are going to lose their friends, at least partially. I mean, they're never going to lose their friends. I don't mean it like that. But he says, you have to go. So I reached out for counsel. I'd never needed counsel. I'm a pretty decisive person. I'd never needed counsel so badly in my entire life. And to the three men who know, the three pastors who know that they gave me counsel, I am in forever gratitude to them. Because I was locked up. I was all jammed up. And all three gave the same answer, and that's why I'm here. And if one of them would have given a different answer, I would not be here. That's where it was at. So the Holdfast Baptist Church members, they are here today. Praise God for them. I'm not going to have anybody stand up. Could you raise your hand if you're from Holdfast Baptist Church? Holdfast Baptist Church, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to acknowledge that this sacrifice that was put upon them. They did not ask for what happened last week. So now what? Hold Fast Baptist Church, Verity Baptist Church. Turn to 1 John chapter number 3. Well, at least partially, the third section of this sermon is that these two bodies are going to become one. Turn to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. So I would ask Verity Baptist Church to embrace your new brethren. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That's because we're saved, because we love the brethren. One of the outward actions of, you know, your salvation that you should do, the best work that you should have, is to love your brethren. So I would ask that you embrace your new brethren. Meet these folks today. Introduce yourself. Turn to Proverbs 18. Kids, how many kids are in here? Raise your hand if you're a kid. Every kid, raise your hand. Hi. Get it up there. Let's see. Kids, this is for you. Look at verse number 24 of Proverbs 18. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Kids, I would ask that you love these kids from Hold Fast Baptist Church. They don't know anyone here. I would ask that you would introduce yourselves to them. I would ask that you would include them. And look, I already saw all the games being played before church, and I'm like, I guess I got to remove this part from the sermon, but I'll say it anyway. What a friendly church. This church has always had great kids, but those kids from Hold Fast Baptist Church, they are great kids, and they will be great friends to you. I feel like they're my kids. That's how, just please take care of these kids. Include them. They're wonderful kids. They're going to be wonderful friends for you. So, turn to Romans 5. I know this has been very difficult, but let me tell you something that I know for sure. God is doing something here. Turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. This past week, I have been happy, so happy to reconnect with Deacon Oliver. And to give you some context of this, there's a profound moment that I had. It was probably 2017 or so. It was before Pastor Stuckey went to the Philippines. We were standing outside the church, the three of us, and Deacon Oliver wasn't Deacon Oliver, but he worked for the church. And I knew Brother Stuckey at the time was planning on going to the Philippines. But I mean, honestly, the three of us were standing there, and I kind of had this feeling like he's not really gonna go. But we were just having so much fun at the church at that time. It was like, I don't know if you all remember, it was probably still like that, but it was just like a new sport every week, and like we're playing all, you know, it's just like we're having such a great time serving the Lord. But I kind of had this moment that hit me when the three of us were standing outside one time, and I was just like, man, like, we're all going to be gone soon. I was going to be, you know, going off. Pastor Stuckey was going off to the Philippines. I was going to go to Fresno. And, like, it was just kind of that sad moment where I was like, yeah, I mean, I know we have to do what we have to do, but it's kind of like we're not all going to be together for very much longer. And that just stuck with me for some reason. It was just like, you know, one of those moments that you remember. But now the three of us are back together serving again. Tell me God is not doing something there. And I won't be able to explain this to you, but I do want to say this. The 6 years of the ministry in Fresno, out of all of those experiences there, are you in Romans 5? I won't be able to fully explain what that was like to you all, but let me just say this. I now know that I am a person that doesn't need to understand everything. I now know that I can have patience and wait on the Lord. Amen. So when you're in tribulations, when you're in tough times, you don't have that responsibility to try to, you don't have to understand what's happening. If you're frustrated this last week and you're stressed and you have difficult situations in your life and, you know, family members are sick or whatever's happening, you're just like, it's not going right or it's not, you know, things are not, I'm in a valley now, you don't have to understand. It's a little bit of a relief when you think about it that way. All you need to do is just have patience. Wait on the Lord. That's it. And you serve in that patience. And you be faithful in that patience. The Bible says in Romans 5:3, it says we glory in tribulations. How could you possibly glory in tribulations knowing that tribulations worketh patience? And patience experience and experience hope. I love those two verses in the Bible. Finally, how does this tale end? And I talked to the men a little bit about this on Friday, but you all need to hear this too. How's this tale end? Verity Baptist Church, Holdfast Baptist Church. The tale ends that basically the story is the head remains. The mission is the same. Whether it be this church, that church, churches, good times, fun, adventure, activities, all these different things. But also, look, the head remains through those times, but pain and turmoil and despair and heartbreak, the head remains there too. And also not understanding everything. Different churches, understanding sometimes, not understanding sometimes, the head remains. We will carry the same gospel through the same streets and all around the world. We will carry the same gospel through attacks of this wicked and perverted generation that we're living in, and we will become and we will build strong men that protect and lead and instruct our families in righteousness. Amen. We will promote and build strong marriages based on God's word and not the philosophies of man. Amen. And we will take those marriages and we will raise children that are taught in the Lord. And that will produce children and youth that not only have the peace, as Isaiah says, but that will become soldiers for Christ for generations to come. See, Christianity is about generational succession. That is the point. And don't you ever let anyone take that goal away from you. It is possible, and the instructions are right here. And that's what we will do. And we will know, look, a lot has been made this week on who this pastor will be, and that's understandable, and I get it. Here's another thing that we will never forget, though. We will never forget that this is not about the man. Men come and go. And if I die, another will come in. Because the head remains. The head is the same. And through all the noise, through all the strivings of man, through all the vain deceit of man, through all the pride of man, through the philosophy of man, through, you know, this combined church will always be about the head. Turn to Matthew 18. I mean, it's about Jesus, folks. Turn to Matthew 18. You know, sometimes I think that sometimes in times of darkness and times of maybe bitterness and things that, you know, if you're wondering, should I be feeling this way or, you know, should I be in this place or thinking about these things or with these people or whatever it is, you know, sometimes I often think when I see places of bitterness and strife, I ask myself, is Jesus there? And if he's not, that's a problem. Look at Matthew 18:20. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Let me tell you something. There's a lot more than two or three people here. So Jesus Christ is here today. And that's the whole point of all of this. It's easy to forget that in our lives. But he remains. He remains the head, and he remains the point of it all. And as long as I am able, he will remain the point, the head at Verity Baptist Church. So I just want to say, like, I had to kind of get this out there. And I want to say, just like, God bless the people of Hold Fast Baptist Church. May God just bless them in their lives. God bless Verity Baptist Church as we move forward. And may God bless our many adventures that we are going to have together. Amen. There will be adventures for the Lord. There will just be an adventure in general, I think. So I am super excited about moving forward. I am super excited about working with the folks at Verity Baptist Church. What I told the guys is this machine is already running here. We just need to unify and just work under God's word to keep it running. Deacon Oliver, let me tell you something. That guy, you know, I'm sitting here watching him over the last 2 days personally, and I'm just like, I don't know what keeps him going. I don't know how he can do this. And I'm just like, go home. Like, go home. But you know what keeps him going is because he loves this church. Amen. And he loves the service to the Lord. And I pray that we keep this as a as an environment and a culture where we all just want to serve and we just love it. Amen. We love being here. One culture I love about churches is I love when the kids are just blasting through the door. Then you know, they're like jumping out of the car before it's parked. You know, like, something's being done right at that church. And that's what we're going to do here. That's what we're going to keep going here. I'm super excited about the future here. I'm super humbled by this position that I've been put in. And I promise you, I will do every, if any of you need anything from me, I will break my back to help you. Any single one of you. I love you all. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Verity Baptist Church and Hold Fast Baptist Church. I thank you for people that no matter what city that they're in, their main goal in their life is just to pick up a Bible and go preach the gospel to the lost. I pray that you would put your hand on people, Lord, as this transition is taking place, and that you would just open doors and close doors for people and just guide them in the direction that you want them to go. And I pray that you just strengthen us at Verity Baptist Church. Help us to just embrace these new members. And Lord, I thank you for the honor that we all have to be your ambassadors. We love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.